Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 12 for today's message. I think you'll find this interesting. I have for sure. There's a lot of doubt going around these days about, what Bible book is really the Word of God, or do we have the Word of God? How can we know? Well, actually, it's quite simple. First of all, if you want to know if you do have the Word of God, then make a proclamation of faith. Come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Tell Him that you want to be saved from this cruel old sinful world. Tell Him that you believe in Him truly from your heart. You believe that He went to the cross. He suffered and died, shed His precious blood to save you from the hellfire that is to come. And He rose again on the third day. Don't forget that. You must believe in the resurrection. For without the resurrection, you will not rise either, at least not unto life, but unto death. We'll explain that a little further. But I've entitled my message today, Then, Now, and Forever. Then, Now, and Forever. Okay, now, chapter 12 in Psalms. There's just two verses here I want to read to kind of set the stage here for what I'm trying to get across. The point that God's Word is true. God's Word is real. God's Word is there for the taking. If you but believe by faith, we don't see God anywhere. We believe in Him by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. All right. Psalm 12. Ooh, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Do you believe that verse? That the words of the Lord are pure words? As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven is the number of perfection now. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, here's my question. If you say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not, that's just some man wrote that in there, well, then you haven't got a hope. You haven't got a hope in heaven. But you do have a hope in hell. So, it's up to you to decide whether you're going to believe or not. Now, with this new evangelicalism that's all over the world, you know, where people can relax, they can wear what they want to church, they can put on the world any way they want, they can play rock music, they can get rid of the pulpit, they're getting rid of the crosses in the churches, they're setting them up like nightclubs. Now, if that's what you want in place of the cherished Word of God, the truth of His Word, then so be it. May God have mercy on your soul. But I'm here to tell you that the Word of God is real. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is pure. The Word of God stands through every generation. To the end of time, the Word of God will prevail. This earth will pass away. God's Word shall never pass away. Now, if you're determined not to believe that, then may God have mercy on your soul. That's all I can say. You know, in the old days, even before my time, which is longer than I care to remember, community living was the rule of thumb. Small areas which had been hacked out of the woods We always got together and helped to build or contribute to the village church. A church not only for God, but for the people of God. One church, one people, and one Bible or one word. Guess which one? The authorized King James 1611. God's infallible, inerrant, inspired word, delivering the truth, the life, and the way. Now it's up to you whether you're going to believe this by faith or not. We had one Bible. We had one word. And we considered it the truth of what God wanted us to hear, what God wanted us to know, what God wanted us to read, what God wanted us to abide with in our hearts. It's a word that can never be broken. And back then we believed in it wholeheartedly. Now 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we get into the word of God, when we open this holy book, we study it. We study it from Genesis to Revelation. We go through the Gospels. We take the word and abide with it in our heart. And we speak unto God and we ask Him to give us direction, to give us guidance. And that's where the Holy Spirit of God comes in, the third person of the Trinity. He comes into your heart once you are saved, once you are truly a child of the King. He comes into your heart and He gives you that wisdom, helps you to understand what you are reading. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Okay, yeah, that old devil will be there. You know, we first tried to trick Eve in the garden. Yea, hath God said. Oh, dividing the word of truth, eh? Oh, yeah. Yea, hath God said. More in a moment. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I'll thank You, Lord God, for this time You have given me, that I can bring forth Thy word. I pray, Lord, that You will give me utterance. You will give me wisdom, Lord. You will open the hearts and the ears of those who are listening, Lord. O Lord God, Thou art not willing that any should perish, but that all should come on to repentance, Lord, and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, thank You, God, for Your word. Thank You. I believe it, Lord. I hold it fast in my heart. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray and ask these mercies. Amen. And now, it's more important than ever. It's more important than it ever was now that you believe in the Word of God. There's somewhere over 400 versions of the Bible out there now, just working their way around. The devil's shuffling here and shoveling them over there and trying to get people to relax and say, you don't need that old King James. That doesn't, you know, who can understand it? Well, look what we have here. It's very simple. It's very basic. These are the words of God you want to hear. But at the same time, He is twisting the Word of God. He's taken out the only begotten Son of God. He's taken away the blood. He's making a real mess of things to get you all messed up and confused. So you'll not make that decision for Christ. Or you will, but it will hold no water. It'll just be fake. It'll be superficial. And it will never get you to heaven. Never. It's more important now than ever. Because with all these Bibles floating around, all distinctly different, just like the trees in the garden, just like the trees in the Garden of Eden. Now the devil says, yea, hath God said ye may not read from every Bible that is written? No. No, what God is saying, ye may read from every Bible that is written by man. Do you hear that? You may read by every Bible that is written by man, but only the book that I have written will be unbroken and bear the fruit of my truth. Now I'm paraphrasing what God is saying, but He's telling us that we only have one true word. We don't have 400 plus. We only have one book that is the real Bible. My friends, I hold in my hand right now the unbroken, purified word of our living God. This is God's truth. Read it if you will. Read whatever you want. I don't recommend all these newfangled editions that are coming out. Some of them are quite old, but yet they pervert the Word of God. The ASV, the NIV, the Living Bible, the NASV, the New King James even. You know, it pains me to go on. As certain as night and day, I know I am over the true Word of God when I hold in my hand the King James Authorized 1611 Version. I have prayed, and I have prayed that God's preserved Word would be set before me. And God answered that prayer. Oh, yes, He did. And now, not only am I content and assured that I have God's inspired, infallible, inerrant Word, but I also know the precious power of His Word. And I shall cling to it dearly until the very end. See for yourself. No, they've perverted the Word of God. See clearly how they've taken out the blood here and the blood there, your lifeline to salvation. Without the blood, there's no salvation. See how they've twisted the truth and added their lies, the lies of the devil. Read on. Just the way the devil wants you to. Drink the cup of damnation. Then ask yourself, cannot our holy God, the God of all righteousness, preserve His Word like He promised? Has God lied to us? If He can't preserve His Word, how can He preserve His truth? Maybe there is no hell. Maybe there isn't any heaven. No shed blood, no salvation. Is God the author of lies? Nay, let God be true, and every man a liar. I'm afraid because of the people like Pope John Paul, who told his people that hell was merely a separation from God, not a literal hellfire. How many will go to hell because of this declaration? I'm afraid because people like Rick Warren of Purpose Driven Life fame, who gave his church to the people instead of preserving it for God, who kicked out the pulpit and the crosses of Jesus Christ. When a survey was taken to find out what people preferred in a church today, the people said, no particular denomination. In other words, no sign that says Protestant or Baptist or Catholic or Pentecostal. And they want all contemporary. Contemporary music, upbeat music, shorter sermons. No mention of hell or sin. Oh my, we're in terrible shape here. And whatever the people wanted, the big mega churches would give. As a result, churches grew quickly and massively, crowding out God Himself, while the smaller churches that were being faithful and true to the Word of God are falling by the wayside. They're being eaten up by the monster churches, and I say monster definitively. Joel Osteen, who was professed to have the biggest mega church of America, proclaims that God wants him to preach only what's positive, not on hell, not on sin, but on how much He loves you. People are flocking there. Because they love to hear how much God loves them, and they can carry on with their normal lives without fear of retribution. It's a lie, folks. It's a lie right from the pit. And if you believe it, you'll end up in that same pit. Excuse me, but my God said to preach the whole gospel, which includes sin and hell. And now, today, well, we've seen not only those pastors who held fast to the Word of God, but have allowed themselves to be swallowed up in the new emerging church. Instead of preaching the one true Word of God, many have allowed corrupt versions into their pulpits and generated confusion among the masses. They'll answer to God for that. Today's church has allowed entertainment to have a front seat. Today's church has given more praise to its people than to God. They may stand on pedestals, but Jesus hung on the cross. They may speak to itching ears, but Jesus spoke the truth. Today's church doesn't want any preaching that's controversial. Don't preach on divorce. Don't preach on homosexuality. Don't preach on abortion. Don't. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear they're sinners. They want to hear that God is merciful. Just keep your message short, they say. Mellow, loving, and never point the finger of sin at anyone. Good old Bible doctrine is just too offensive. They've written their own Bibles. Preach only feel-good doctrine, or they won't come back. You may not be a millionaire anymore, for they'll not feed your coffers with their weekly tithes and offerings. You know, folks, when I read the Bible, I don't hardly ever feel good about myself. Because the Bible exposes the real me. I know I'm under forgiveness, under the grace and mercy of God, because I received Christ as my Savior. But still I know who I am. This old flesh is still sinful. But thank God the Spirit is willing. The Spirit is alive in Christ and can never perish now. The Bible says, live for tomorrow. The world says, live for today. Did you know that everywhere Paul went, he made everyone feel unhappy? He stirred up the fire, if you will. He didn't just come, you know, like a giant glow and say, oh, everything is fine. Jesus has died for your sins. No. He came preaching repentance. Believe or perish. Everywhere that Paul went, people were unhappy. But once they realized who Jesus Christ was and what He did for them, all the tide turns, and the joy and the peace and the grace of God entered into the soul. Yes, He did. He preached, if you will, on happiness. Today's standard, Paul was a real troublemaker. And it's the same with pastors today, or evangelists, or preachers that go into the world and preach the Word of God. Preach softly. Don't tell everybody they're sinners. Give them the good news, which is heaven waits. God loves you. God loves you. You know, when I heard Rick Warren ask for God's blessing, Barack Obama got inaugurated, you know, my blood ran cold for that moment. Yeah, it did. Would a holy God bless a baby killer? Would a holy God bless sodomy? I think not. And what of the one who asked for such a blessing? Might God send him back to the spiritual drawing board of obedience? God doesn't even bless his own children, the saved, unless they're obedient to him. How is he going to bless the unsaved? You can't expect God to bless the children of Satan. Is God happy with past presidents? Is he happy with, was he happy with President Bush, a professing Christian who doesn't know what true Christianity is all about? Well, Bush believes soldiers who die in battle are automatically guaranteed heaven. Seems to me I heard that one before. Oh, yes. The Pope believes that too. And because these leaders, I use the term loosely, these leaders believe the country's great warriors who give life and limb for their country will go directly to heaven. Well, what's that say for people like Hitler, who was there in glory for his country? Mussolini, there in glory for his country, Italy, Tojo, Japan, all these great leaders who gave up the ghost for home and country. Whoa! Oh, it ain't going to happen, folks. Christ is the only way to the Father, and that's final, that's God's final word on it. Is God pleased with President Clinton for his adulterous life in the White House, the very office used to represent his country? You know, when you take the number one house representing the country and turn it into a virtual whorehouse, is God going to be happy? I don't think so. Is God pleased with President Nixon, who knowingly formulated a situation of great deceit and was impeached by his peers while his gang of liars and cheats did time in prison? Is God pleased with President Obama, who built his political platform on agreeing with homosexuality and abortion? I don't think so. Now, I'm not saying that these people could not go to heaven if they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Of course, anybody can, if they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It might sound scary, but you don't want to hear this, I know. But even Hitler, had he repented and gotten saved, could very well have gone to heaven. To which my earthly father answered, "Well, if Hitler can go to heaven, I don't want to go there." Never, 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 never underestimate the power of the cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I believe in the Word of God. I believe it with all my heart. And I'm not going to argue with it. Now, I'm not saying that Hitler got saved before he died and he's gone to heaven. Chances are that evil man, as evil as he was working strictly for the devil. But then again, I'm not God. And I can't make that decision or call it in any way. So I'm just going to leave it with God, where it belongs. You want to please God? There's only one way to please our sovereign God. It's O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. We used to sing that all the time in our Christian school. You say, brother, why are you picking on all the important people? My friends, it's the big important people who are the ones that all us little, non-important, if you will, people listen to, who we look up to as our leaders, as our examples. If we're not careful, they can become our idols. They can become our gods. Now, when I was a kid, we had idols. They weren't the kind of idols you worship. You didn't get down on your knees beside the bed and say, "Dear Roy Rogers, I love you and Dale, and I sure wish that you would bring me a new horse. Or any horse. Or a pony would be better." What? I mean, we as kids, those were our matinee idols. I wasn't even saved. I didn't know who Jesus Christ was. Did I have religion? Oh, yeah, I guess. My dad was a Catholic and my mom was a Protestant. Neither one of them practiced. So they sent me alone to a Catholic church. Now, in those days, the Mass or the service was always in Latin. We didn't know what was going on, so we just had to sit there and be quiet. When everybody began to leave, then we knew it was time for us to go. Three things they taught me. One, there's mortal sin and venial sin. Two, only a priest could forgive our sins. And three, nobody went straight to hell. First, they went to purgatory. Well, that was then. This is now. And tomorrow was promised to nobody. They told me a bunch of lies until I got into the Word of God and found out the real truth. My friends, as Christians, as believers, we are without excuse. We have God's inerrant Word and we must study. We must study that Word for the answers to every question in our lives. Should I? Should I not? What would Jesus do? It's all there, folks. There's no excuse. And people, oh, I get this all the time. What about these people who live way off in far off lands and the North Pole or in the jungles and never hear of Jesus Christ? They hear of God. Now they make their own idols. It might be some witch doctor within the camp. Or it might be a mountaintop. Or a tree. Or a lump of salt, I don't know. And they pray to that. But they believe there's something out there above all things. So they are without excuse. Back in the Old Testament, they prayed to God. They didn't know about Jesus Christ. But it was accounted unto them for truth, for faith. We are without excuse. Now don't get me wrong. It's okay to admire great men and women. Even put them on a pedestal if you want. But we must do so in the light of Scripture. It's gotten out of hand. Now I urge you, always keep in the back of your mind, what's the Word? What's the Word? Obedience. God blesses obedience. Tell me, do you have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof? Huh? Well, you know, this is what many preachers have today, a form of godliness. If we define the term a form of godliness, simply, we take a look at every Christian you know. Every one of them has a form of godliness. But many deny the power thereof. How do you know? The key word is but. But many deny the power. Do the Christians you know, if you know any, do they love the Lord and everybody else? Will they do anything for you? Give you the shirt off their back? But there's that but again. The Word of God is filled with buts and ifs. If you obey. But it is better to believe in the Lord. These kinds of Christians hardly ever miss church. They volunteer in the various ministries. They give liberally to help others. And they're great prayer warriors. But their prayers seldom, if ever, make it to the Master's ears. Why is that? Why? What's the key word again? Obedience. Obedience. They do everything they think they're supposed to do, but they unwittingly deny the word of the living God and take the word of man instead. They forget to come out from amongst them and be ye separate. Now, I'm not saying don't go where the sinners are. Well, that's, we're all sinners, but I mean, don't go where the unsaved are. Well, how else are you going to tell them about Jesus? How are you going to give them the gospel? You go there, you give them the gospel. You can even work with them to help them grow in the Lord. That is recommended. Discipleship, yes. But when someone is not saved, you don't go into a bar and have a drink with them to witness to them. You know, it's been said that there was a lot of praying to God when the Titanic went down. But was there a lot of praying for Jesus Christ to come into their lives? One day we'll know. A lot of people perished that time, that cold night. Hands up! How many know? How many know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior? How many indeed? How many know what it means? And what about movies, parties, TV, sports, vacations? So you ask again, how can you witness to someone if you can't get near them? Well, I just told you. That's a good point. Did you ever try to witness someone in a movie theater? Or while they're watching a program on TV? Doing commercials, maybe? At a party? At a ball game? It's next to impossible. Now, I like to play golf. And there were times when I went out and played by myself. Because I couldn't find a brother in the Lord to go out and play with. So I'd go out and I just like to walk around and smell the grass and enjoy the scenery and the fresh air. It was good exercise. But once in a while, they would put someone else with me that I didn't know. We'd shake hands, say, how you doing? Fine. Nice day. Lovely. Lovely. And we'd be on our way playing the game. Now, as soon as we got on our way, the Holy Spirit got doing what He does best, got working on the heart within, and started convicting me and saying, well, check this guy out. Maybe he ain't saved. Huh? You better check him out while you have the opportunity. So what I do is go into a silent prayer and ask God, give me the utterance, Lord. Help me to say the right words. Help me to do it at a time when he'll be most receptive. And you know what? I can't remember one time that I played with somebody who wasn't saved that I didn't witness to. And if a person told me during our round the golf, if they told me they didn't want to hear that stuff, that they have their own religion, well, I had to respect that. But you know what? I never ever play golf with them again. Oh, no. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate. Oh, my. Witnessing to someone is kind of like branding cows. You have to separate them from the herd first. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was then. That is now. And that is forever. Oh, I pray for you, dear one. If you're listening today, it's time, if you don't already know, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Get on your knees. Call out to Him. And say, yes, I believe in You. Oh, dear God, I believe that Your only begotten Son went to the cross of Calvary, gave up His life, shed His precious blood for a sinner like me. I believe that He rose again on the third day. And I believe that one day I will rise too to be with Thee in glory. I believe. I believe. Amen. Amen.